Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes, indeed. Welcome on into our Friday, May the 23rd edition of Sports Talk. We're here with you till 6 o'clock this evening, handing things over to the LSU Sports Radio Network. Well, there'll be pregame coverage leading up to first pitch of the Tigers SEC tournament opener. The Bayou Bengals have been on a double bye, just chilling, relaxing, resting up for their matchup against good old Texas A&M, has advanced this far, and the Aggies took 2 of 3 from the Tigers in College Station earlier there in the regular season. We'll see if the Tigers can get a little revenge here and advance on in the SEC tourney. We'll be waiting on that, and also then coming up will be Selection Monday, where we find out the seeding where all for the NCAA tournament, the big tourney, not just the SEC tournament, and all likelihood
it's the tournament we care about.
with the Tigers, though, you would think being number one in every single darn college baseball poll and their regular season record that they're good enough without even winning a game here at the tourney to have a top eight seed.
Definitely a top eight seed, but I guess if it means something to you to be the number one overall seed, you know, get the best matchup, right? You're probably winning a game, probably do that for you. I do appreciate how they have this set up because for the top teams in the SEC, it is really just like a weekend series, like an extra weekend series.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, it kind of felt like there was just a little extra that they would have to do, whether it was an earlier start or like you're just talking Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Either you win and you keep playing until Sunday or you lose and you get a couple extra days off. So, because that's my problem with the conference tournaments is more so in basketball than baseball, but it's like everyone's playing for the NCAA tournament, right? Like, yeah, if you win the SEC tournament, great. That's fun. But you don't want it to take away from, like, you don't want it to be a negative on your chances to actually succeed at the tournament that matters in a week. So, yeah, I mean, I like the way it's set up now. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, the Tigers are pretty set up well in the postseason. They got two stud pitchers in the lineup with Anthony Ironson, Cade Anderson. We'll find out what Coach Jay Johnson decides to do with that rotation. Haven't gotten a definite if it's going to be Cade tonight or Ianson. So we'll be dialed in waiting for that to get released with the Tigers lineup for this evening. But Tulane also has moved on in their tournament, and it's not a single elimination in the American Athletic Conference. As me and Cullen were looking at going into Sports Talk today, breaking things down, it's more of that round robin style.
Right, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you don't need a round robin style conference tournament. Either you win or you don't. The teams that are going to move on to the NCAA tournament, they don't want to play in the out of the loser's bracket, right? Like, anyway, like, I guess, yes, it gives you an opportunity to win your way in, but at what cost for the teams that actually have bigger ambitions? I don't know. I've never liked that idea in a conference tournament. So
Cullen, Tulane's got early morning baseball tomorrow, yeah. Right?
There's four games at most tomorrow. They're doing this like double Elam kind of round robin thing. It's not great.
But if Tulane wins, they're automatically in the championship game. If they lose, they get to play again.
Tulane and East Carolina are both in the same position. Where they win, they're in the championship game on Sunday. That's why Tulane's playing so early. They're playing at 8 a.m. local, or 8 a.m. here, 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. over in Clearwater. If they lose, though, they'll play like 2 or 3 hours later against the team they just beat, which ironically enough is UTSA. If they lose, they'll play them for a third time this tournament alone.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I would much rather lose in the first game than lose in the championship game. I want to win, but I also don't want to play three games and not win anyway. Yeah. Like, that's my problem with it. Because, like, again, if you're LSU, you're just like, I want to win the College World Series. I don't need, like, the SEC tournament, yes, it is basically a mini version of the College World Series just because of the teams in it. Because, like, all the good teams play in the SEC anyway. But it's, I don't know. So we'll see. It's always interesting to see which teams look very locked in these formats and which teams kind of look like, okay, let's get this over with. Because I'm genuinely not sure which LSU team we're going to see. Are we going to see the team that just can't put runs on the board and, you know, lost to Texas A&M in that way earlier this season because they just couldn't get runs across the plate? Or are we going to see this dominant offense we know is there kind of wake up like Jay Johnson thinks they can?
We were kind of talking a little bit before the show about being able to motivate yourself just in general, and someone like a Michael Jordan would find things. Well, I'm sure Jay Johnson and the Tigers are going into this going, hey, they took 2 of 3 with us at their house. Well, this is a whole new ball game in Hoover. We're going to go in here, you know, take it to them, advance in this SEC tournament, because Jay Johnson has spoke, you know, glowingly about the goal is to win the SEC tournament, something he wants to do with the Tigers just because he's an uber competitor.
Have they done that since he's been here?
No.
They haven't. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there is something to that, I guess. You just want to get all of it. But it's funny because they weren't even the regular season SEC champs, but they're number one in the country, which is just a weird, I think they finished third in the SEC.
Right.
And they're number one in the country or whatever the rankings are. It's a weird in baseball with a, there's no consensus rankings.
Right. What's wild is they're number one in every single college baseball poll, but they're, like you said, finished with the third best record in the SEC.
Huh?
Yeah. What?
Hey.
I don't understand the college baseball rankings for sure, but I thought it was funny, too. Before the SEC tournament, they had the Tigers as a 7 national seed, and I'm like, how is that even possible when you're the top team in the nation? You're looking at RPI and other things. And now it's kind of bumped up where at least they have them as a 5 seed at D1Baseball.com.
I don't ask questions. I just watch the games where they're played.
I know, you know, late night LSU West Coast baseball is your favorite.
Oh, yeah. That's my dream, is 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. first
starts.
Pitches. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
Looking at the SEC tournament right now in action, we got going into the bottom of the third inning. Ole Miss taking it to Arkansas early. That's a 5-2 game. Definitely keeping an eye on that matchup because it could potentially cause the Tigers start to be pushed back a bit. So hopefully that game ends quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing about tournament baseball is the start times are suggested at best, right? Right.
Oh, yeah, Cullen's saying, you know, whoever wins this matchup, if LSU wins, that's who they end up playing in the next matchup as well.
Yeah, I mean, if this game goes 15 innings, that game's not starting at 6:30. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, anyway, it's a weird format. This is kind of just like dipping your toe in the water of, like, regionals every year have to be like, how does this work again? You know, with the double elimination round robin. So,
how did you, when you coming in, finding parking? Was it an issue for you? Because it seems like it's pretty dead around town right now.
Today in New Orleans?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's summer, right? We went out to dinner the other night and my wife got a reservation. I'm like, Claire, it's hot now. We don't have to get reservations anymore. It's okay.
Well, I figure Memorial Day weekend too. Most folks,
that's true.
A lot of folks are heading out of town. Hopefully they got us tuned into their dials as they're heading to the beach.
It's entirely possible.
We are going to get into some Saints organized team activity talk. We got to be at the last session of week 1 yesterday. The team will now have off until next Tuesday, they're back in action for the second week of the voluntary sessions. Got a bunch of audio to get into. Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, if we got some time, Brandon Cooks, and also Taliese Fuaga, plus some sound from also LSU head coach Jay Johnson talking about the tourney.
I don't speak organized team activities. I speak OTAs.
Well, I'm tuning
in
just in case folks don't know what
they
those OTAs are.
No, they're OTAs. It sounds cooler that way.
Well, now we can just refer to it as OTA since I said organized team.
Oh, now
activities.
That we've done it?
Yeah, I've prefaced it what they stand for.
That's fair. That's more interesting than the OTAs are.
If you do want to sound off on our show today, ask anything Saints or LSU related, 504-260-1870 is the number on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We're going to take a break here, hanging out with you till 6 p.m. when we have scheduled pregame LSU coverage. We'll be keeping an eye on that first game, like I said, at the SEC tourney to find out when that goes final and if indeed the Tigers have a 6:30 first pitch in Hoover, Alabama against Texas A&M. So you want to keep things locked into yours home for Saints, LSU, and the Pelicans. WWL be back right after this. Looking out into the city right now, a bit overcast out there. Don't know if was the rain coming down when you got into the studio, Jeff?
No, but I kept hearing thunder like all afternoon. So it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, driving in, I got to see those pretty lightning strikes coming down.
Yeah.
Yesterday was beautiful weather out. We still got to enjoy the indoor facility over at Saints Camp.
I was a little disappointed. I put on sunscreen and everything, and I was like, man, I need to get my reps in of standing out in the sun for 3 hours at a time so that when training camp comes, I don't melt into the asphalt.
I'll never complain about being in the indoor AC, though.
I think it is, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's one of the questions I have is how does Kellen handle practices, because there's been some kind of minor changes so far, and we'll have to see. Like Sean Payton always was just trying to break us,
yes,
as a media corps. It was like, if I force them to stand out in the sun and die, they will not have the emotional will to ask me all the questions they want to ask me after practice. Like, I am not making that up. That was he thought about that, and we learned that when like Dennis Allen took over, and suddenly we had a cooling tent. I was like, wait a second,
what is that?
They could do this the whole time. Anyway,
and now Kellen's here. We're actually using the Saints media room. What?
Yeah, crazy. And also, you know, one minor change, and this is a kind of a. It not a huge thing, but people are going to notice it when they go out there. There are names on the back of the jerseys now.
Yeah.
The practice jerseys, which, you know, I learn all these numbers pretty quickly so I can identify them while they're out there. But I've always felt like the fans that go out there, like, who's 46? I don't know. Now they have names on the jersey. So it's just kind of little things like that.
Right.
Practice on Thursday moved a little quicker. It's possible they were just trying to squeeze a lot in because OTAs, they have some pretty strict rules on how long they can be. But for instance, they had the 9-on-7 drills. They had the first team and the second team going at the same time on each end of the field, which is tough because you can't watch two things at the same time. But I do wonder if that you're going to see more of that, if you're going to see a little bit more of an efficient process in how they do things. Because I think that is something that Kellen is aware of, is getting people in and out, not wasting time. But we're going to see. Like, it's going to be interesting because we've gotten really used to how things operate, because you had Sean Payton for forever, and then Dennis Allen really just did the same stuff. So even though Sean's been gone for 3 years, it's still been basically the same. So, again, it'll be interesting to see how he changes things up.
Yeah, like you said, if there's one side of the field where first team's going on and the other side of the second team, we're gonna have to divide and conquer,
right,
as a divvy up our WWL staff.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
The QB battle, definitely the most hyped, most talked about, and I think it's going to be that way going into training camp as well. You know, Spencer Rattler, the going into year two, Tyler Shuck, the rookie, second-round pick, and you got a guy, you know, in Hunter Deckers, the undrafted free agent, also in the mix, but with Jay Kaner also going down with an injury right now, that main battle – it just got highlighted even further that it's really seems like a Spencer Rattler versus Tyler Shuck for that starting week one gig.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that we didn't see, there was no reps for Deckers on Thursday. I thought with Jake out, maybe they would just slot him in and say, okay, here you go. And I think it's pretty clear that he's a developmental guy on this team. He's nowhere near the actual quarterback competition. Kellen Moore is going to maintain that Jake Haener is part of the quarterback competition. We'll have to see how long he sticks with that, because there's just not that many reps.
Exactly.
And I just think there's going to be a point where you're just like, these are the two guys that are really competing. And it has to be Shuck and Rattler. And it's just like, how long are we going to go through this? I think Jake makes the roster. I do. Because I think you're going to have, you know, one of the things that we asked Jake yesterday, and he was like, do you think you need a veteran? He was like, he kind of laughed at it. He's like, no. What is a veteran going to come in here and do when you have all these former quarterbacks and the coaching staff anyway? Like, what are we going to sit in the corner with the veteran quarterback and just go over notes? He's like, no, we're going to talk to the coaches. Kellen Moore, 5 years ago, or maybe not 5 years ago, what, 8 years ago, was the veteran quarterback in the room with Dak Prescott. He knows what that person needs to do. They don't need an extra body for that. But I do think with a young quarterback room, you're going to want some continuity there in terms of they're going to have a process. They're going to work through a lot. They're all going to learn this system at the same time. They're going to be able to bounce ideas off each other. That's something Tyler Shuck talked about. We'll hear his audio in a minute. You know, they're kind of learning this at the same time, and having all three of them in that room is valuable because they can kind of, you talk about dividing and conquering, like that's how they're going to be able to learn this offense. And they're competing, yes, on the field. In the classroom, it is a very much a collaborative process. And that's always the funny thing when you have these drawn-out quarterback battles. It's like, at the end of the day, you're on the same team. It can't be completely a competition.
Yeah, and right now, you know, we talk about the QB competition. It's tough to really gauge things with guys just in shorts and
right
no
now,
helmets.
There's nothing. Right. I mean, we're going to have hot takes. We're going to have overreactions galore. You know, anytime Tyler makes a great throw, oh man, every time Spencer makes a great throw, oh man. At the end of the day, right now, all I'm looking for is, okay, are they confident? Do they look like they are picking up the offense? And they do, right? I thought Rattler looked really on point. I think he's going to, like, people, I think, have already dismissed the idea that, he's not going to have a chance.
Agree,
I think
yeah.
If you're the Saints, you want Spencer Rattler to play well enough that he forces you to start him week one. You don't want to be in a situation where you don't feel like you have either guy ready and you have to throw the rookie in just because Spencer hasn't played well enough to justify starting him. Like, if I'm the Saints, I want him to go out there and force them to play him. Because here's the thing. I don't think the season's going to go that well. And I would much rather be in a situation where, like, week 12, I can make a change than if I start the rookie and it goes terribly, there's no coming back. You don't want to bench a guy if it's going badly.
Although we've seen that with a few, you know, few quarterbacks where they've gotten the start, gotten benched, and then rebounded after that.
Who?
Bryce Young last year with the Carolina Panthers.
I don't want to go down the Bryce Young pathway and be like, let's emulate the Bryce Young scenario. It's not what I want to do. But you're right. That is an example of it happening. I'm not sold on Bryce Young. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to bench a guy, because guys don't often come back from the benching in any positive way. But let's get to this sound here.
Yeah, let's hear from Saints second-round pick Tyler Shuck after his first week of organized team activities in black and gold.
How has OTAs been for you so far? 3 days behind you?
Good. It's been really good. Just getting to know everybody, getting chemistry with the guys. I think it's been the biggest thing is you got new faces. Obviously, you're building the new installs every single day. So I've been feeling really good about that. Starting to just kind of connect with the guys even more.
And you're rotating in and out with Spencer right now, mm-hmm. the ones, Hayner before. But how has that been, trying to get acclimated to different groups of guys?
It's been good. I mean, it's part of it. You got to go in there and operate. You got a taste of that in minicamp. You got brand new faces. The expectations, you got to go out there and perform. And I love it. And I think you just see the level of play here with Olave and Sheed and the kind of veteranness that we have at O-line. It's really, really cool to come in and operate. I feel a lot more prepared, you know, being kind of an older rookie coming in, you know, not being as nervous to develop those relationships, but knowing that's my whole job is to continue to earn my role and do everything I can.
Coach just talked about picking up on the language pretty quickly, like a 10 word play count or whatever it is. Like, how are you with the language of the offense so far?
It's been good. Yeah, I think that helped me out at Louisville this past year, having that huddle mechanics the whole time, coming in through the headset, just basically getting your feet wet there, and then now you can kind of come into this hitting the ground running. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. There's going to be we're learning every day, and I think that's my whole goal, is to make sure, you know, I know my job and I can go, you know, get the ball out to those guys and make plays.
So Tyler, what's that quarterback room like? like that you guys are actually in there together now?
It's been really good. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, we're all around the same age, speak the same language. You know, we've obviously Spencer and I are from the same area, Jake from California. We've all been around each other, so I think that's been the fun part, is just learning this offense together, bouncing ideas off of each other, and competing.
How first conversation with just like Spencer, you know, when you got here, just kind of as he got you into this program and kind of things, what were kind of some of the advice or things that he was talking about?
We're just bouncing ideas off of each other more. I mean, it's kind of really like a reunion, but still kind of catching up. Still, you know, it's a new offense. We knew each other a little bit previously, so it's all been really friendly and having fun. You know, we're out there competing in every little thing, Indy, net drills, footwork, you know, all that stuff. That's the fun part about this job, man. It's, we're going out there, we're trying to get better. You know, I'm a year older, but he's been a year longer, so the league a year longer, and we're trying to just keep going and keep growing and keep building.
Does that kind of help when it's not, I guess, right now, because we're not really in the thick of it, it's not a competition? At least it is like, hey, let's figure this kind of thing out first before we really get into the meat of like this.
Oh, no, I'm competing every day. Okay. No, we're competing every day. I think that's part of it. It's part of this job. That's why, you know, I love this game so much, is you got to come out there and compete and get better and yeah.
Adjusting to, you know, NFL system, Kellen's system, these first couple of weeks. I mean, what's been the biggest adjustment for you from that perspective?
Just new verbiage. I think obviously I've been in five or six offenses before, so it's unlearning those, and you know, a lot of the same plays are ran or different ways to get to it. So when you're in and out of the huddle, you have to be in, you know, have to be very, very fast. So just unlearning the previous language and learning that, and so far it's been good, and just trying to find that perfection that way.
What's kind of the if you were to put like a hallmark of this Kellen Moore offense as you're learning it right now, what is it?
I would say there's going to be answers for almost everything that you're going to see. You know, whether they're finding different ways to scheme up runs or getting to different passes or take loads off of certain people, the quarterback, the O-line. I think he does a really good job of complementing each position and allowing everybody to go out there and play fast while still giving you a toolbox. And that's, I think, where I've had the most success in my career is having that toolbox, but ultimately letting your talent go shine.
And do you, like, on a personal level, go back and watch any of what he's done with Dak and Herbert?
Yeah, that's the brunt of the what I'm watching right now is all those installs that we're going through, watching guys like Justin and Dak. I mean, it's super fun to watch, and I think you definitely pull a lot from that film and what they were able to do. And even just a year, you know, I think Justin, whenever he first started, he was my age, and what he was able to do, and obviously how much I looked up to him in that offense. And so it was really cool to watch that, and then kind of how it's transcended with Jalen and bits and pieces from that. So I'm really excited to kind of keep going.
That's Saints rookie Tyler Shuck, and I would say, Jeff, he had the play of the day, that deep ball hitting not Chris Olave, sorry, Shaheed. It was Rashid Shaheed, yeah. Who was good to see him, you know, running, but a double move from Shaheed, and Shuck puts it out there, places it perfectly. Big game for the black and gold.
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. Honestly, the quarterbacks, everyone's going to have eyes on the quarterbacks all right. Year. But watching Shaheed and Olave move around, more so Shaheed than Olave. Like, Olave,
agreed.
Yes, it's good to see him back, but he was dealing with a head injury, so there was no question of physically what he was able to do. And he was back at practice by the end of last season. He wasn't playing in the games, but he was back at practice. So there was an expectation he would be ready to go.
Right, we had Shaheed forever.
Had meniscus surgery last year, and after week 7. We haven't seen him. Like, who's to say where he was? He looked good. Like, he looked 100%. Like, a lot of times you'll see guys coming back from knee injuries, they'll take it slow just to be cautious. So not doing that, I thought, was telling of he's 100%. And yeah, that throw was beautiful. I think these quarterbacks are, Spencer knows about it. Tyler's going to learn quickly. Like, that he runs deep routes different than everybody else. Like, the way he tracks the ball, the way he can locate the ball at top speed and still run away from people is special. And like, when Tyler threw that ball, I was like, oh, maybe he overthrew him. Like, it looked like he overthrew him. And then I was like, wait, that's Shaheed. He's running under. If that's Pettis, I'm like, oh, no, he's not getting to that ball. Shaheed made it look like it was Shaheed makes every deep ball look like it was thrown perfectly because he gets to the exact spot he needs to catch it. And that's what that throw was. And yeah, like, that was a pretty deep ball. Tyler has this really nice pump fake where he kind of separates his hands, really sells it. And, you know, there's some nuances to his play that are really impressive. That's one of them. But, no, I mean, he's still working his way through. I thought he was a little slow on some reads. Like, the reason I hate training camp stats is because Spencer Rattler's 8-for-8 was a lot more impressive than Tyler Shuck's 7-for-8 because Spencer was really decisive. He got the ball out quickly. He made NFL throws. I thought Tyler was a little hesitant. Like, one of the plays, he worked all the way to his backside read and got the ball to Kevin Austin. But it's like, you don't have 7 seconds in the pocket when there's a pass rush. So it's like, that's kind of a dead play to me. Like, I almost want to write an X next to that because it's not a play that happens in an NFL game. There was a couple more that were checkdowns, right? I don't think Spencer had a checkdown. I think they were all just kind of rifled in balls.
I was going to say he had some bullets.
There was one that knocked Juwan Johnson like off his feet. I was like, maybe don't throw it that hard. But I looked after he threw it. I was like, I'm like, that was like a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. So, no, I mean, it's there's reasons to be excited about these offensive players. There's also reasons to say this team's going to struggle. But that's where you are.
We're going to get, we just heard from Tyler Shuck, then we're going to hear from Spencer Rattler. First, though, take a break here on WWL Saints Radio. You can chime in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Any questions about the black and gold or even LSU baseball, which we're getting ready to get the first game of the SEC tournament for the Tigers, taking on Texas A&M. You can sound off 504-260-1870 as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend, folks. Taking a break. Be right back. So stay tuned here on Sports Talk WWL style. Welcome back into our Friday edition of Sports Talk as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend. We just got to go check out Saints organized team activities. Week one, the media viewing was yesterday, and we just heard from Tyler Shuck here on WWL Saints Radio. Now, the other guy in that competition, Spencer Rattler, here's what he had to say after the final week of OTAs. Week one wrapped up.
I know it's still early in this offseason program, but does it feel good to have that, like, everyone's on the same playing field because it is a new coaching staff? It's a new opportunity for everybody. Does that help you, I guess, just mentally having that clean slate like everybody else has?
Yeah, I mean, it's good having a blank slate, you know, coming out here, communicating with the guys, playing free. But I think the mindset stays the same no matter what situation you're in. Just attack each day, try to be the best guy out there, and just lead your guys.
Does the comfort, is it a little bit more comfort just because you've done this, you know, like the whole process for a year?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, much more comfortable this year than last year, you know, coming in. Credit to our coaches. You know, they've been coaching us really well, and guys are on top of their stuff. We're gelling pretty well right now, and it's feeling good.
Kellen's been pretty consistent about the idea of doing, you know, making this offense cater to the talent. How do you feel like that is going for you in this new system?
Feel great.
Playing to what you do best.
Feel great. I think we play fast, play with tempo, RPOs. QB is going to be able to use his legs like you've seen what he's done with QBs in the past. You know, I don't want to give away too much, but it's been great, man. I think the receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, everybody's gelling well with this offense, and O-line as well. I mean, like I said, it feels smooth, feels good out there right now. Obviously, got to install more, but, you know, we're pretty deep into the playbook, and it feels good.
But the things that you said you were working on over the course of the offseason, how do you feel like that aligns with those elements of a Kellen Moore offense?
Yeah, I think just overall, just body twitchiness, body quickness, mental quickness, I think that all, you know, kind of ties into what we're doing now, you know, with Kellen and his offense. You know, I think no matter what offense you're in, you want to work on areas you want to improve. But overall, I feel good right now. Want to keep improving.
Spencer, obviously, it was circumstance that doesn't guarantee anything. But how special or important was it for you to spend that portion of phase one, phase two, breaking down the huddle at the end of every practice, kind of being, you know, the QB1 for the guys that were here?
Yeah, no, felt good, you know. You know, nothing's promised, so you want to work every day. You want to lead your guys, you know, being the quarterback. Got to have confidence out there. Got to have a little swag and just, you know, get your teammates to believe in you.
The talk outside the building, mm-hmm. whether the expectations for the team are high or low, how do you avoid maybe dipping into that and just go to work and do your job every day?
Yeah, it's just part of the beast, you know. It's always going to be talking points, always going to be, you know, expectations, high, low, whatever they may be. Just control what you can. I know I've said that plenty of times, but it's true. You know, control what you can. Continue to improve in what you need to get better at, and just keep working with your team.
How much has your confidence changed from last year to right now?
I mean, I feel like I've always been pretty confident. You know, even if it's up and down, you've got to maintain that confidence. But I guess you could say I'm a little more comfortable now, you know, going into year two. Obviously nowhere near where I want to be, but feel good right now.
Spencer Rattler there, Saints quarterback going into his sophomore season. And that was definitely one of my takeaways from the OTAs, is the fact that he had that swag factor about him. Not like he didn't have that even last season. Just has that aura, the way he carries himself. But definitely felt the confidence while he was out there on the field.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, sure. It's a little easier to be confident when you know no one's trying to come hit you.
Sure.
So it is what it is. He made some really nice throws. There was one up the seam to Michael Jacobson that was impressive. Again, he had that bullet to Juwan Johnson. No, I mean, he looks like a guy coming into his second year and feeling a little more comfortable, right? It probably helps when you have actual receivers to throw to.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, he didn't get to throw to Chris Olave outside of maybe, what, two games? He didn't get to throw to Rashid Shaheed basically at all, right? So, you know, I think that's a big part of it is, hey, I finally have players that I'm confident in throwing the ball to. So we'll see. Again, like, the Saints want him to go win the job because that means they have quarterbacks. Because one way or another, he's either your starter or your backup, right? And I think the Saints are perfectly fine being in a situation where either he's the starter or you have a backup with actual starting experience in the NFL, right?
You mentioned, you know, some of the injuries last year with the Saints, with Olave, Shaheed. They were back in the mix. Two guys that weren't, though, Taysom Hill. We didn't even see him, but we did see Foster Moreau. He wasn't taking part in anything, though, right now.
Yeah, Foster Moreau, obviously, and Quincy Riley.
The rookie, right.
And Dallin Honker, who has cut his hair, in case you were wondering.
He doesn't have the
flowing locks anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a lot.
Honker.
He was easier to spot. Last year, he'll just kind of blend in now, but yeah.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Chime in 504-260-1870 on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Step and obey, and be right back with more after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from 76-62 guys, NFL players, flag football in the Olympics. Remember Robert Edwards? He destroyed his knee as a rookie playing flag football at the 1998 Pro Bowl. I brought that up because next hour, we are going to do our Olympic flag football draft. Get excited.
Yay. I'm super excited.
I figured, you know, something, you know, mix things up on a Friday to, you know, sure. Kind of like a fantasy football
draft.
What
are the rules? Is it just the three of us?
It's just the three of us.
That seems pretty fair.
We're going to draft 10 players, 5 offense, 5 defense. And, well, a little bit tricky, you can't have players on the same team on your roster. Like, you can't have two Saints.
Who came up with this rule?
That's the NFL.
This rule seems arbitrary.
That's the NFL rules.
And there's some positions that we have to limit it to as well. But that's the NFL as well.
Right, exactly.
I want all offensive linemen.
We'll get into the draft randomizer to find out where we'll be going in the news break. So stay tuned. I know you're not going to want to miss our Olympic flag football draft coming up after the news. Stay tuned here on WWL. Who dat?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices.
at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is Friday, folks, and we're having some fun here on Sports Talk this May 23rd edition, getting ready for Memorial Day weekend. Got into some Saints sound last hour. We heard from organized team activities with Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler. That QB battle will be ongoing, as it'll be carryover certainly into training camp and will be definitely the rage of everything we end up covering for the practice is, you know, in and out, and things will definitely amp up a notch when you finally put pads on. Right now we're just watching guys in shorts and not even helmets yesterday, so it's like
there were helmets for some of it.
Well, then I saw you had the guy on defense obviously having a helmet on too to relay plays.
Well, I mean, you had the helmets on for the 7-on-7.
Did they? I thought there
yes.
was. Yeah, they did have
they
helmets
had helmets on.
On
for the 7-on-7 drills. They did not have them on for the 9-on-7 because there's no contact. So, I mean, yes and no. They had helmets on at some point.
So it kind of reminded me a little bit of flag football, what we saw going on, because there's no contact happening. And
okay.
And it brings up the whole, you know, in coming up in the 2028 Olympics, that the NFL players will be allowed to partake in the events and should be fun for USA. I think we will dominate the rest of the nations because, I mean, we got NFL guys playing flag football, for crying out loud.
I mean, do they play flag football anywhere else? I mean, genuinely, here's the thing. Will NFL players actually be better than the flag football people at flag football? Because have you watched a flag football game? They do weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, well, he can run a great route. Like they do these things where they get down low and they, like, run with their, like, butt inches off the ground. And, it's not the same game. So
Are we
going
to see pro flag footballers competing against NFL players for roster spots?
They probably should, because I think there will be better flag football players than, like, you throw Tyreek Hill into a flag football game. He's like, yeah, he's fast. He can do stuff. But, like, they know how to play the game. They know how to, like, hide their flags. Anyway, so I think we're being very presumptive that, like, they're like, oh, we got NFL players. Like, this is not the game they play.
Well, when I see, you know, Jamar Chase lined up against some DB from France,
sure,
I think
he'll get open.
He's in deep trouble.
He'll get open, but I don't know. It's kind of like the 3-on-3 basketball at the Olympics. Like, do you see NBA players in that? No.
No, it's true. You
got Jimmer Fredette out there. Anyway.
Jimmer, former Pelican.
Yes. Are we going to do this or what?
Yeah, we're going to get into our draft. I randomized the order going into things, and of course, I ended up dead last, so it'll be Cullen, Jeff, and then myself selecting. Now, some of the rules are that we got a 10-man roster, 5 players on offense, 5 players on defense. You cannot, though, select the players from the same team, so yep. You can't have 2 New Orleans Saints on your roster or 2 Dallas Cowboys. You're going to have to spread things out a bit. And we did not decide, so I'm going to ask you guys right here. Are we just going to go 1, 2, 3, and then back to 1, or are we going to do, like, snake?
I think we should do snake.
Really?
Yes.
I'm fine with that. I got first overall. I have no dog in the fight.
He's going to wait a while between your next
two
picks.
Hey, I'm fine with
it's
that.
It's a 3-man draft. It's only going to be 2
bing,
picks.
Bang, boom,
yeah,
right.
30 seconds on the clock.
I think we should just do offense, personally.
I'm fine with that, too.
We're
going to pick DBs. Come on.
Let's just do it. Yeah, we can just do offense.
All right, so we're going to pick 5 offensive players.
Yes, we want.
We'll move things along here.
Quarterback, 3 wide receivers, and a running back.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of those receivers can snap the ball.
Double so one of the receivers has to snap the ball.
Yes.
Welcome on in to the first ever Olympic flag football draft. Commissioner now turns it over to the Cullen Steele, running master control over there with the first overall pick. You are on the clock, Cullen. Ooh, dramatic music in
the background.
I know.
Wow. We don't want anybody to be doing any tush pushing since there's not really going to be any tackling. So I'm going with Jaden Daniels with the first overall selection.
QB going 1.
All right. That works for me because I'm going with my guy, Joe Burrow.
Wow, that's 2 QBs off the roster.
What do they have in common?
I don't know. You have to tell me.
Well, I'm going to take Joe Burrow's favorite target and former LSU Tiger, Justin Jefferson. Come on down to Steve's team. I cannot wait.
You think Justin Jefferson is Joe Burrow's favorite target?
In college.
You don't think Jamar Chase
now
may,
is,
may
right.
not
yeah.
have been?
No.
Anyway, I don't need to fight this battle. People listening can fight this battle.
You're right. They're the Cincinnati Bengals, they have that connection going on, which you weren't. I'm back on the clock after taking Jefferson. And I'm going to go with running back here. So give me the Detroit Lions, Jamar Gibbs. I'm going to lock him up on my team.
Okay, so you took Justin Jefferson.
Minnesota. Right. I got to remember this, too, so I'm not taking players from the same
Jahmyr
squad.
Gibbs, so yeah. You took Jahmyr Gibbs. All right, you got him. All right, for me, I'm going to go with Joe Burrow's not favorite target, but it is Malik Neighbors.
Malik. Got some LSU connection, though,
We have some LSU connection going on. All right, Cullen?
Saints fans are going to hate me. Bijan Robinson.
Ooh. Okay.
You got to pick again, though.
I'm going to go, let's see. Do we have off the board receiver-wise? We have what? We have Jefferson and Neighbors so far?
Yes, correct, sir.
I'm going to take Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson from the New York Jets.
Need him to make an incredible catch. That's the only reason.
All right. My turn again? All right. I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr.
There's a theme I'm sensing here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It hits close to home.
Wow, I'm surprised you did not take, in fact, Joe Burrow's favorite target, which I now shall grab.
I can't. There's like one rule.
What do you mean?
They're on the same team.
Oh, no, you can. Yeah, I was like, why can't I? Dang. Well, I'm going to grab Jamar Chase. So now I've got Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and Jahmyr Gibbs. I am back on the clock.
There's something you're missing, Steve.
I know. I need a quarterback here. But I am going to go with tight end.
Wow.
And I'm going to lock up big boy Brock Bowers coming to my squad.
Of course you are.
Good job. You got to pick again, though.
No, I did my double pick.
Oh, you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
Who did you pick before Brock Bowers?
That was Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Chase and Bowers off the board.
I'm running out of steam here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick Tyrann Mathieu to play both ways.
Okay.
Honey Badger don't care.
Why not?
Who's to say we have to pick receivers to play offense? Come on.
I mean, you could have a
situation game are we playing?
Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, snapping the ball to Joe Burrow.
I don't want that. I want Tyrann Mathieu.
He wants an all LSU squad.
You figured that out all by yourself, huh?
I'm a genius.
All right, let's see. Wide receiver wise, I'm gonna keep it wide receivers. I'm not gonna go tight end or whatever the hell Jeff's doing. I'm leaning. Because I don't need a guy that's going to... I need it fast. I need speed. You know what I need? Puka Nacua.
Okay, that's a good pick.
He's not that fast.
Faster than me.
I'll give you that. So is that your whole thing?
No, I need one
more pick to round out the...
And that would be my third wide receiver.
Our stellar Olympic draft here that's going so well.
Wide receiver, you know what? He's going to be snapping the ball. I need him to do, if there is blocking, a little bit of it. Give me George Kittle.
Big George Kittle, your tight end / center.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm kind of stuck here because I need a running back, but I've already used my Saints pick, and there's only one real running back. I don't want Josh Williams. So I'm going to the retirement home and grabbing myself some Lenny Fournette. he's got plenty of time to get in shape. So we're going Lenny for my final pick. And we got the all LSU squad going.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Now I got to pick a quarterback. I am kind of jealous, though. You picked Tyrann Mathieu. No one ended up taking Travis Hunter, who could play both ways.
I thought about it.
You did, huh?
I did think about it.
It's just he doesn't have the energy. He can't get it done.
All right, you got Jaden Daniels, Cullen, Jeff. You've got Joe Burrow. Well, give me Lamar Jackson. So if they do rush the passer, Lamar can take off and bolt on down the field. Come on down.
You got it.
Interesting. No one went Allen. No one went Hurts. No Mahomes.
I mean, to be fair, no one went with 28 of the quarterbacks in the NFL. So there's a lot of quarterbacks no one went with.
All right. So we're looking at the roster here. Jaden Daniels, Bijan Robinson, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, and George Kittle on Cullen's squad. Mm-hmm. Jeff / LSU took Joe Burrow, Malik Neighbors, Brian Thomas, Tyrann Mathieu and Leonard Fournette.
Offensive Tyrann Mathieu.
Offensive
Honey Badger Tyrann Mathieu.
I went
Put
with
some respect on that name.
Justin Jefferson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jamar Chase, Brock Bowers, and Lamar Jackson.
You got it.
Now, I think we know who's getting the gold.
Me.
I
I don't know about that.
I vote for me, so I got 33% of the vote.
I think we'll put it out to our texters out there on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line when we read off our rosters there. Who do you think will be getting the gold medal out of our group, folks? 504-260-1870. Team Cullen, Team LSU / Jeff, or Team Geller?
If they don't vote for me, they're wrong. Just letting you know. You can be wrong. Your vote can be wrong.
We did not mix in the defensive players, though, but Jeff found a way to add a defensive guy to his roster.
Hey, I got plenty of LSU players to choose from on defense. The offense was the hard part because I could only pick because they don't have running back.
Do you realize, though, with Leonard Fournette, he's not trucking anybody in flag football?
Yeah, but I'm still scared to get near that guy. There's no rules that says you can't run over a guy.
You go for the flag. That's the point.
Yeah, but you go for that flag at your own risk. If you go in there, if you stick your nose in there and Lenny runs you over, that's on you. You might get the flag, but you're going to pay for it.
What's funny is before going into the draft, you brought up a great point with the flag football. The game of flag football is much different than what you're seeing in the NFL land.
If you think NFL players are going to be playing flag football in the Olympics, go watch how a flag football. Like, if you've only watched flag football in the Pro Bowl, understand that that's not what a regular game of flag football looks like.
My big one, too, is I was surprised nobody took the speedster and Tyreek Hill. But if you look at it, the Olympics is 2028, and is he going to even be playing football then?
He might be playing flag football. I don't know. I think your career in the flag football field has a little bit longer then maybe they're going to take my head off over the middle game.
That was a rundown of our Olympic flag football rosters. Definitely something that we'll be keeping an eye on as we get closer to 2028. But were you surprised, guys, that the NFL actually is going to permit their players to take part in it? Because those injury concerns, I would think, are legit because we've seen plenty of those quote-unquote non-contact injuries happening to guys. You're shaking your head like, I'm not worried about it.
I mean, the NBA lets their players compete and exactly. They actually play the real game. So, no, I mean, they had to. They couldn't tell them, no.
That's where I was going to go with it. And
it's also in the summer when there would be freedom to...
Yeah, right. You know, you're not going to interfere with anything with, you know, even organized team activities or training
camp.
It might
interfere with OTAs to some extent, but...
Gold medal can make up for that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to complain about it.
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk as we get ready for LSU baseball versus Texas A&M. Doing a real quick check on the first game going on at the SEC tournament currently. They are in the top of the seventh inning. Ole Miss leading Arkansas 5-2. Be right back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we went to break, finding out that weather is taking a toll on the SEC tournament in Hoover, but for tomorrow's action. So tomorrow's semifinal game between Vanderbilt and Tennessee, that's been moved up to 10 a.m. because of the threat of weather. So that means now if LSU does win this evening, they'll play 30 minutes after that first game at 10 a.m. So we're looking at about a 1:30, 2 o'clock first pitch for LSU if they end up winning today. So we'll have that for you on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Waiting for, though, first that game one for LSU, which is against Texas A&M, coming up after the Ole Miss-Arkansas match. And that is currently in the bottom of the seventh inning with Ole Miss on top of the Razorbacks 5-2. That's a scheduled pregame coverage for LSU at 6. First pitch at 6:30, and we seem to be on track right now, unless the Hogs bats start going up and end up tying things, forcing this thing to extras.
They're working on it. Got runners at second and third with one out. They're down 3 runs.
Oh, first and second, you said?
Second and third.
Second and third, yeah. Great.
One more than that.
Hopefully we don't jinx things here.
We will see. We will see. But, yeah, that's, again, my least favorite thing about this time of year is you never know when the games are going to actually start. It's all a guess.
We're going to get into some of our sound bank with LSU head coach Jay Johnson as the Tigers were getting ready for Texas A&M. Coach Johnson previews not taking this SEC tournament too lightly.
I want to win this tournament because it's a competition. And on top of that, like, everything is training for something. And what a great opportunity to play 3 teams that are capable of winning the national championship. So I'd like to have our players have that experience and use it to be able to draw from for what's ahead.
Coach Johnson was asked how he's feeling about his squad after finish up in the regular season, now heading to postseason play.
I think this team did a great job of being very consistent. I thought for 34 games, like, we probably did as good as we could and played as well as we could. And then this league is just this league, and the mental fatigue of it, the good players, the competition, you know, we wore some of that, and then have kind of come out the other side. And one theme that we've really talked about this year is improving as the season's going along, and improving this time of year, because not everybody can improve this time of year. And I feel like we've done that. You know, a few days off, you know, I think has benefited this team. Like, when we've been fresh, we've played at our best. And so I'm hopeful for that.
Jay Johnson's squad's been in Hoover since Wednesday. The tournament started on Tuesday, though. So this Tiger team has had plenty of rest going into things. And, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit. There's not much at stake for the Tigers right now. They've pretty much got a top eight national seed locked up. They're going to be hosting, you know, regional action. And what's there to really play for in this SEC tournament? But Coach Johnson talks about why winning the SEC tournament is so important to him.
It's just respect for our league and respect for the opponents in our league. I mean, if you can do that, then you're obviously capable of winning the tournament that matters the most, which is the NCAA tournament. But I think it's just I respect the tradition of LSU playing well here. We played well here last year. You know, the year before, we were in a much different position, very similar to this one, where it was really about making sure everything was right. But, yeah, I just am a competitor. I mean, to all of your guys' surprise. This is good to be here and exciting to play in. And the event itself is first class all the way around.
Yeah, I found that funny. It's like, of course I want to win the game. That's what we're here to do. You don't try going into things, nah, we're going to, you know, lay off the gas pedal, take it easy going into the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's
especially
easy.
Now single elimination.
I think there is some more nuance to that question, though, in the sense of, okay, yes, you want to win. Everyone wants to win. No one's going in there saying, ah, let's lose. But how aggressively are you going to pursue that win? Are you going to leave Anthony Ianson in for 130 pitches?
Kate no, Anderson, right. I don't think it'll be extended, like, outings.
Right. So, you know, how much are you going to tax your bullpen? That's the benefit of, okay, we don't have to play a game till Friday. Everyone's rested. You didn't even have a midweek game to worry about. So, yeah, I think, yes, you're going to – I don't think today is the question of how you're going to go at this. On Sunday, if you're playing your third game in 3 days and you have some pitchers who have gone longer, like out of the bullpen, you know, how active are you going to be bringing them back 2 days, 3 days? So – I don't know.
Like, Sunday's the championship, though. So it's like, do you pull out all the stops for that?
Well, that's the question. How badly do you want this versus maximizing your chance to win in the big tournament? Now, you know, they're going to have a regional at home. They're not going to have to worry about a ton.
And regional action will start in the NCAA 1 week from today.
Yes, but we all remember Stony Brook. Like, you don't want to be – you don't want to go for the SEC tournament and put yourself in a bad position where someone comes into your house and upsets you, and like suddenly that's what we're talking about. It's, oh man, should you have, you know, so.
Right, and then the questions will become out, oh, you should have been saving guys in Hoover.
Rah, rah, rah. Everyone's got opinions. But that's the question. It's not, oh, do you want to win? And that's he did a good job as a coach. You want to spin things in that way to make all the questions sound dumb. But the question is not, do you want to win the game? It's how badly do you want to win this game? And for a coach that's won a College World Series but has not won the SEC tournament, I believe that he wants to go out there and win it. I do believe that this means a little bit more to him than maybe if they had won it the last
notch for you.
If they had won it the last 2 years, like, whatever. Like, we have bigger fish to fry. That's not probably going to be the case for him. So we'll see. Either way, like, yes, Jay Johnson wants to have an SEC tournament title.
The Tigers in the regular season were 42-13 overall, 19-11 in conference play. Had mentioned before, in all of the college baseball rankings, number one team in the nation. Jay Johnson was asked, how do you keep your team loose but ready for the postseason now?
Number one, the things that you needed to do to win a game in the regular season, they're actually the exact same things. So that's the first thing. And the game actually never changes, but the human beings that play it change. So it becomes really important to play in the right character of being relaxed, but being focused. There was a really good thing Derek Jeter had said recently in a speech he was giving out about, you know, treating every game the same. being incredibly prepared. The only time he was ever nervous in his entire life on or off the field when he wasn't prepared. So he'd be very serious about how you prepare, and then it allows you to play loose, relax, and focus when the competition starts.
LSU Tigers getting ready for that Texas A&M matchup. The first game going on in Hoover right now, still in the bottom of the seventh inning, 5-2 Ole Miss having that lead against Arkansas. So I could potentially see now, guys, I don't know if we're going to necessarily get to 6 o'clock pregame coverage on time.
That is a future problem that I do not have the answer to right now. Future Jeff is going to worry about that.
Looking at the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, sounding off about our flag football teams, it looks like Cullen's in the lead right now, guys. Everyone likes his roster. Not everyone, but the vote so far
are
in Cullen's favor.
Half of these texts are saying Jeff's team is the best.
I'm seeing Leonard Fournette is 300 pounds right now, Jeff.
He didn't say that was a bad thing. He's saying that it's like positive, man. He's got a lot of heft behind that.
It'll be harder to reach the flag.
Exactly. Yeah, good luck finding the flag. No, I mean, I think my team is the best.
The Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. You can sound off about our flag football teams, LSU baseball game, or the Saints organized team activities. It's 504-260-1870. One thing we haven't talked about really much, guys, besides in the sports flash, NBA playoffs. It was a wild game one for the New York Knicks against the Indiana Pacers. I saw you, Jeff, retweeted that shot at the end of regulation, and it's like defied all physics. And when it hit the rim, bounces up in the air, it seemed to just hang up there forever before coming down and being a swish.
Yeah, the only thing that worked for the Knicks is that Tyrese Halliburton is like size 14 shoes instead of size 13 shoes.
Yeah, they win the game.
It would have hurt so much more if that was a game winner, and then the choke signal, you know, the Reggie Miller that he did to Reggie Miller. And the funny thing was Stan Van Gundy, which, you know, all-time great Pelicans head coach Stan Van Gundy, Pelicans legend Stan Van Gundy, was yelling. And I was like, he should just hand it to Carl Anthony Towns because he had 0.2 seconds left in overtime. And I was like, just hand it to him.
And
then
he did
just hand it to him. And I just have to know, it's like, he must have heard him yelling that. Because, like, they can hear the announcers. Like, that's the thing that's funny.
Right at,
like,
the scorer's table,
like,
there, right.
They're only, like, you know, they're like 50 feet away at maximum. They're on the opposite side of the court. Stan Van Gundy's yelling, hand him the ball! Like, Tyrese hears that, and I'm sure he did it because of that, which is actually very funny. But, yeah, Tyrese Halliburton has two massive threes at the end of games. One came off his own missed free throw that, you know, okay. In that whole possession, he completely messed it up and then just took a crazy step back and hit that shot. So, anyway, Tyrese is it's not even a good shot. He missed. That's the funny thing. It goes in, so it counts. But he missed. It was a bad shot.
You're talking about Halliburton, but man, oh man, what about Nesmith? It was just en fuego.
That was crazy.
Everything he was putting up from three-point range
threes.
Was going in.
Six threes. No one's ever done that in the fourth quarter. No one's ever done that in the second half of a playoff game before. Hit six threes. Yeah, and it was like, at a certain point, they were talking about this in the post game. It's like, guys, he's hit three in a row. Stop letting him shoot. Like, why are you not forcing the ball out of his hands? Like, he's on, like, if this was the NBA Jam, be like, he's on fire!
For sure.
Like, the ball has a magnet in it at this point. It's going in. Stop letting him shoot. Yeah, we're up 17. No, you're not. You're 5. Anyway. But I just think that Halliburton shot is funny because if it doesn't go in, which it's 99,000 out of 1,000 times, it's not going in. It's a bad shot. They needed 2 points. He takes this crazy step back three. Like, it went in. So everyone's talking about how great Tyrese Halliburton is. He missed the shot. It was a bad shot. But it went in. So we don't talk about that.
And like you said, just on the line.
Even the Cavaliers game that he won with the three, it was like, yeah, you should have made that free throw. Like, clutch free throw, you missed. Now, we don't talk about that. We're going to talk about the shot. And again, that's all that matters. It's a make-or-miss league. He made it.
And in the end, the Pacers end up coming on top, stealing a game in Madison Square Garden. To see how New York shows up tonight.
All those celebrities all disappointed on the sideline. They were so excited. Poor Ben Stiller. Every time the Knicks lose, I'm like, man, next season of Severance is going to be terrible. Anyway.
Well, he writes Severance?
He's the director. So
okay.
You don't know that?
No.
Come on, man.
No, I'm way behind him now. I'll probably end up seeing Severance like 3 years
from
now.
Ben Stiller, director of Severance, very big Knicks fan. But what I appreciate about Ben Stiller is he's an actual Knicks fan. Like, there's a lot of guys who show up on the sideline. A lot of celebrities show up on the sideline these Knicks games. They couldn't even tell you half the players on the team. Like, Ben Stiller's, like, he knows campaign. Like, they're friends.
You mean like Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner?
No, Tim Chalamet is actually a basketball fan. Okay. Like, I give him, like, he's a real one.
I'm sorry, I will not speak bad about Chalamet.
Yeah, don't mess with the Shal. But, you know, he spells his name weird, but he's a basketball fan through and through. But no,
there's
a good number of folks over there that are just like, do you even know what are you doing here? You can afford it? You're here? Okay, great.
And just real quick, Jeff, as we go to break, what are you thinking of this pace, the T-Wolves Thunder series? Is Minnesota, you know, cooked, or do you think they can get back in this when they get back to their home court?
They'll win a game. They'll win one game.
So you think we'll go five in this?
Yeah, they're losing five. The OKC is the best team in the NBA. It's not even close.
Offense, just the defense has been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the Timberwolves just don't have the firepower. No one has firepower. I mean, I think the Pacers might have a chance just because they can score fast. They can win a game in the 150s, and that's what they'll have to do. But Timberwolves can't score like that.
Taking a break on Sports Talk. Be right back after this. Stay tuned on
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
UWL. Back here on Sports Talk, getting into our triple option feature brought to you by Bet365. Guys, I'm going to be talking about LSU announcing a jersey retirement for one of their all-time great running backs. They produced some great one over the years, and one of them is getting their jersey finally retired by the school. Charles Alexander, who ranked near the top in just about every major rushing category in school history, he's going to be honored with a jersey retirement this coming season. Had first 4,000-yard rusher in the Southeastern Conference history and a two-time Heisman Trophy finalist. Galveston, Texas native, totaled 4,035 yards from 1975 to 1978, ranking third in program history. His 1,686 yards in 1977, Tigers' highest single season until Jeff's draft pick, Leonard Fournette, recorded 1,953 in 2015. Alexander had also scored 40 touchdowns, tied for third most in school history, rushed for four touchdowns in a single game in 1977. That was a record for 20 years. That 1977 season saw him pick up an SEC Player of the Year honors, while he was a first-team All-SEC performer and consensus All-American pick 1977 and 1978. After his college career, Alexander, a first-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, spent eight seasons in the NFL, retiring in 1985. In 2012, He was inducted into the College Hall of Fame, also a member of the LSU Athletics Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Charles Alexander, his number 4 jersey, getting retired this season. Jeff, you are up next on the Triple Option.
My turn. Okay. So today was the final episode of Around the Horn, a program.
Cheers to Around the Horn.
It feels like I lost a childhood friend.
Yeah.
So this show debuted in 2002. It's been on for 23 years. It started with Max Kellerman. Then it went to Tony Reale. They scored the point, like the points and the gamification of it was really cool. Over 4,900 episodes. And, you know, it lost popularity recently. And a lot of people would say, it's the politics. It's whatever. I don't buy that. I think it outlived its usefulness in that what made Around the Horn great was the time it came out, it filled a need that existed of, all these kind of isolated columnists who have really good takes, you don't get access to them in 2002, 2005, yeah. 2007. Now that Twitter exists, I don't need Around the Horn to know what Mina Kimes is thinking or Tim Kalishaw or Bill Plaschke. In 2005, I did. I wasn't logging on to the LA Times. I was going to watch Around the Horn, and it had this really amazing moment. And like, Pardon the Interruption is similar. It came out around the same time, Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, but it didn't have the gamification element, which as a 15-year-old watching sports news, that helped me kind of tune in and lock in on it. And that's what made it interesting. Now, everything's gamified. Everything is a contest. There's no such thing as, let's just talk about sports. It's all hot takes. It's all who won the argument, right? So Around the Horn is just one of 900 different things fighting for your attention. It has nothing special about it now other than the fact that it was first. And at a certain point, it just needed to end, and it ended. But like,
how many years you said?
23 years.
23 years.
It would have just like graduated college. It's the age. It's almost the same age as the Saints quarterbacks, right? So I don't know. Like, I think people forget how massive of a idea that was at that point. And that's why it has the cachet that it has. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just outgrown its era, and it ended. And that's where we are.
And it started out with the host being Max Kellerman, right?
Yes, Max Kellerman. And they went to Tony Reale. And there were some great columnists on there that like I would have never encountered, right? Like Tim Kalishaw was in Dallas. Jay yeah. Mariotti was Chicago. Bill Plaschke. I don't even know what Woody Page did. Moody Page is like 90. He's still doing it, or he was still doing it.
Yeah.
And so it was a really cool thing that created an entire genre of sports media analysis. And because so much of it sprouted up, you kind of lost the original, which retired today.
Cullen, close out our Triple Option today, man.
I'm taking us back to the NBA, where our good buddy of the program, Will Guillory from The Athletic, tweeted last night. It wasn't like a absurd stat when I first read it. And then I slept on it and woke up and I was like, the more I think about this, the more insane it gets. The Thunder, in the 95 games they have had this season, have had 60 double-digit wins. That is 63% of their games. Imagine, you start the game, tip-off, and there's a 63% chance that you not only win, you win by 10+.
Yeah, the Thunder have been just trouncing people.
But that's why it's a bad product. That's why the NBA is a bad product.
Because the Thunder are so dominant?
Because the games don't matter. Because 70% of the games aren't worth watching. Even the playoff games aren't worth watching. You had a game 6, Boston versus the Knicks. All of this, the whole season came down to that. A 30-point win, not worth watching. You had a game 7, Nuggets Thunder. 30-point win, not worth watching. The NBA is a bad product because the games aren't competitive. The best teams cannot be competitive with the other best teams unless they hit 33s. It's a 3-point shooting competition, and if both teams hit threes, it can be close. If both teams brick threes, it can be close. If one team hits threes and the other doesn't, it's a blowout, and that's what happens in the NBA, and that's where we are. No one plays defense in the regular season. You play defense in the playoffs. All these teams that shoot all these volume threes suddenly have to shoot against defenders, and they miss, and then it's just bad basketball. So the NBA's just got to figure out how to create a product, because this product they have isn't good.
I think you're just bitter since Tatum went down.
Yeah, maybe.
That wraps up our triple option feature, folks. We'll be right back. Back here on Sports Talk, wrapping up this hour. The SEC tournament rolling on game one in the top of the ninth inning. Two away, Ole Miss up on Arkansas 5-2, but because that game's running a little bit long, our pregame coverage for LSU delayed. We're still waiting, kind of in wait-and-see mode to see what happens with this game to find out. But we're going to stick with you till we get ready for LSU pregame coverage here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Once again, Ole Miss has that 5-2 lead over the Razorbacks. Top of the ninth inning, two out. The Razorbacks will be coming up in the bottom half. We'll see if they can, you know, keep things alive, or the game ends up coming to an end, and then LSU Texas A&M will be coming on shortly after that. Either way, we're going to keep it locked right here on WWL for Sports Talk, bringing you the latest and greatest from Saints OTAs. We got some more sound to get to, but we're going to take a pause for our top of the hour news break, and we'll be back when we get some more information right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we get ready for LSU baseball taking on Texas A&M. Still waiting for the Arkansas-Ole Miss matchup to conclude. We've got two outs in the bottom of the ninth, Arkansas trailing 5-2 right now. We'll be bringing you LSU baseball shortly after that one concludes. Meanwhile, you stuck with me, Jeff, and Cullen for a little bit extra here heading into Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully, you are taking a road trip somewhere where the beach is nice and the drinks are nice and cool.
Me?
No, I'm saying to my listeners out there. Are you doing anything fun for Memorial Day weekend?
I am not.
I'm not either. I'm going to be in at the house watching LSU baseball.
I'm doing something fun.
What you doing, Cullen?
Yard work.
Oh, that's not fun.
I got excited.
Go get out of here. You're like a gnat back there bugging me with your weekend plans. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I love my wife and kiddo took like a day trip to the Mississippi beach today, and I was like, nice. Oh, have fun. I'll be at work.
They didn't want you to come.
Exactly.
They wanted you to stay home. I'm going to the North Shore to get my dog acclimated to a friend's house where she's going to be staying for a week.
Right, your extended stay, your extended vacation.
We decided not to have the dogs because we have a pet sitter. We didn't feel like, over more than a week, the dog being at the house by itself just doesn't feel right. So we're going to bring her to a friend's house, but I want to take her. Because I just want to avoid a homeward bound situation, you know. Like I feel like if I bring her there and like she sees the house, then when I take her back in July, she'll be like, "Oh, okay, I've been here before," and it's not like, you know, I'm gonna find my way because she's too smart for her own good. She's smart and stupid at the same time.
I'm gonna segue into that. Someone that's been getting acclimated to a new spot on the offensive line.
Beautiful.
Taliese Fuaga played left tackle last year, was moved back to right tackle as we, you know, saw the organized team activity voluntary workouts on Thursday. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay there, but right now, Calvin Banks Jr., the rookie, they're keeping him at his custom spot at left tackle, trying Trevor Penning out at that left guard position. Meanwhile, Tali Fuaga back at right tackle where he played in college, caught up with him at organized team activities. Here's a small clip of what he had to say after the OTA wrapped up.
Even though you played right tackle in college, I mean, going from left to right, the footwork, the hand placement, everything is a lot different.
Yeah, it's a big difference. But at the same time, you know, I played 4 years at college, even though it's still a different level. It's just knocking some rust off and getting back to the basics with the right side.
How much is it just pretty much like riding a bike for you since you played that position?
Yeah, it's just really definitely like riding a bike, but at the same time, still got to knock some rust off. And, you know, new technique comes into play when you get, you know, a new O-line coach and a new kind of scheme. So. But I think it's pretty cool so far. So.
What do you think of this line's potential based on personnel-wise from what you've seen the last couple of days and what's returning? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it could be great. You know, a lot of guys on this O-line has some good experience. And I think, you know, Penny going to guard, I think it's pretty cool because really explosive dude if you guys really watch this game. And especially out of his three-point stance. I think he's a bully when it comes to that stuff. So I think we could really be a good O-line.
Playing left tackle as a rookie last year, what kind of pointers are you giving Kelvin?
Well, anything he's really asking, I'll give him like, any kind of tips there. But really right now, it's just little stuff in his pass, hit, run game. Nothing crazy right now, just the basics, you know.
And having Eric back healthy, I mean, how big a piece is that just on the offensive line?
I mean, I told him, you know, I need him out there because, you know, he's a big piece of that O-line. And, you know, he's really like the almost like the heart and soul of that whole like O-line, especially that offense. So.
Brendan Nugent new coach this year, how expectations different, maybe the philosophy is a little different?
And I love Nuge. You know, I call him Nuge, not coach, because he wants it like that and all that. So he doesn't want to really be seen as a coach, but just another one of the guys, you know, because, you know, it's really us going out there. That's what he says. But, you know, Nuge has been great. Everything he's doing out there, it's pretty cool, and it's helping me a lot. So,
his philosophy changed much from last year?
I wouldn't say too much, but at the same time, his the way he carries himself and the way he kind of teaches things, I like it.
Talese Fuaga speaking after the first week of organized team activities. New spot for him on the Saints O-line, but a familiar spot that he's been before. And like you said, Jeff, you're fully expecting him to stick in there as we go into the regular season.
Yeah, the way they're setting it up makes it pretty clear to me that the question is not going to be, oh, who plays right tackle? Talese Fuaga is going to play right tackle. Kelvin Banks is going to play left tackle. The question is going to be,
right,
is Trevor Penning going to play left guard? Or is Dylan Radins going to play left guard?
Well, people may ask, who's Dylan Radins?
He's a backup, this veteran they signed this offseason. Because you wouldn't have done it this way if you were going to say, well, if it doesn't work out at left guard, we're going to move Trevor to right tackle. Because you don't want to keep switching Talese Fuaga's position. Give him a position, let him work at it. If Trevor can play left guard, fantastic. If he's the best left guard on the roster in week one, he'll play left guard. If he can't, then he's a backup, tackle, guard, whatever. But Fuaga's staying at right tackle. Banks is staying at left tackle. It's only Penning that we have to talk about.
I'm happy to hear that just because I feel like you have those big bookends now set for you at left and right tackle with two high draft picks for you.
Yeah, and Penning's in the final year of his deal. Either he figures out a way to contribute and you have a productive O-line, or you move on next year and you're looking for another left guard. But I would much rather be looking for a replacement at one position than trying to shuffle the deck constantly at both tackle spots. Like, let's find an alignment that works for these guys and go with that, build off that, and that's what they're doing.
We got a final in Hoover. Arkansas going down to Ole Miss. That game is a final. Now we know that the LSU-Texas A&M start time, first pitch, 6:45. So pregame coverage coming up 6:15, gentlemen. That's a really quick turnaround. So just in a little over a minute, we'll be going to the LSU Sports Radio Network for coverage of LSU baseball taking on Texas A&M. And the Tigers, you know, looking to advance in their first game of this tourney. We'll see if that whole factor of rest versus rust comes into play today. And I haven't seen the lineup come out, so curious to see if, in fact, we're going to see their ace, Cade Anderson, on the mound in this matchup for the Bayou Bengals.
We'll have to see. I mean, I would expect so. I mean, I guess you could save him. I think you want to keep things stable. But that's one of those questions is how dedicated are you to winning this? Are you going to try to save him for Sunday? Are you going to try to save him in general? Like, if you lose today, then you don't have to pitch him at all.
But that messes up his usual
rotation.
Yeah, that messes
up his rhythm. Yeah. He's used to pitching on Fridays. If I'm going to pitch him, I want to throw him on Friday, right? Like, that's how I would look at it. We'll have to see. But if I'm Jay Johnson and I really want to win this, I want him on Sunday.
Want to thank folks for tuning in to our special edition this Memorial Day weekend as we get ready for LSU baseball against Texas A&M. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Cullen Steele, throwing things over to the LSU Sports Radio Network. Hoot at, everyone.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.